from the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. If you have your Bible, please turn to Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1. Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's wonderful. Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord thanks for that. That's a great testimony. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or offering or donation from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, leaping, walking, and praising God. I want to preach to us today, just taking a brief moment away from the Sermon on the Mount, in order to help us with something that is most important, especially the beginning of this year. I want to preach to us today, we walk. Of all the things we will do in our life as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, the most valuable, most important thing we will do, next to being saved, is to walk with God. And so I want to preach today to remind the church at the beginning of this year, most important thing we'll do all year is walk with the Lord. Let's pray and let's ask Jesus to speak to us. Also, please pray for George Fowler, that the Lord would touch him. He's been diagnosed with cancer. They're going to try surgery. We're going to pray that God would minister to him. Also to our sister Valen, that God would continue to touch her. And Brother Green, who had knee replacement surgery on both knees, really needs the Lord to help and heal and help him as he recovers. Let's pray for these needs today. Jesus, we love you. What an honor to be in your presence. What a great privilege and honor to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our day. I pray you administer in these needs. I pray for George Fowler, that you would bring healing to his body. I know you can heal cancer. I ask you, God, to do that for him today. Do it, Lord, in such a way that only you will be glorified. I pray also for our sister Valen. Bless her today, God. I pray continue to heal her. Continue to work a miracle in her life, Lord. I pray also for Brother Green as he recovers from his surgery, that you would be with him and minister. Bring healing and recovery to him. I pray, God, for this service, Lord, speak to us today. I want to hear what you have to say, not just what I have to say, but I want to hear what you, the shepherd of this church, truly has to say. We're listening, Lord. Our ears are open. Our hearts are open, God. We want to hear your word today. Help me to preach what you've laid on my heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Long before Batman and Robin ever strapped on a cape, Peter and John were one of the earliest dynamic duos. They were at work doing God's work in the world, and one of the most extraordinary moments came in the middle of one of their most ordinary days. In the middle of the afternoon, Peter texted John, "Hey, bro, let's take some time to talk to Jesus and walk with him. How about we drop what we're doing at 3 today and head to the temple to pray? What do you say about that?" And John replied, "Okay." Nobody really knows what to do with that. But he met up with them anyways and headed to the temple at 3 in the afternoon. The Jews had several set times when they would pray each day, 9 in the morning, 12 noon, and 3 in the afternoon. So when they got to the gate of the temple, they saw the same man they had seen for days just sitting there at the gate. Never walked a day in his life, lame from his mother's womb. He sat and begged at the temple, hinging on the generosity of Jews and Christians just to toss a few shekels into his cup. I don't know, it was different on that day, but on that day he didn't just look at Peter and John or just kind of rattle his beggar's cup to them, but he talked to them, he asked them for some cash. Maybe he recognized Peter from the posters. Peter was that all-star preacher who just preached the first birthday message of the church. So maybe he thought he'd get a few bucks from Peter's book deal for that message. Or maybe Jesus left John a few bucks to take care of his mother. But Peter and John were poor. They didn't have any silver or any gold, not even a gold crown card from Hallmark. But they did have a walk with God that could cause a lame man to walk. You may not have a whole lot to offer this world by the means of monetary means, but if you have a walk with God, you have so much to offer this world. You have power with God that is fueled by a walk with God. That's why Peter didn't have to fall to his knees and pray for a sudden infusion for power, because the power that he had with God was fueled out of his daily walk with God. Peter had been walking with the Lord. He'd been talking with God, so he was able to turn to a man who had never walked and said, "I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold, but what I do have, I'm going to give you, and in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And ankles that had never worked and feet that had never stepped received strength. And a lame man leaped up. Stood a while, walked a while, and then leaped his way into the temple with Peter and John to worship God. Let me just take a quick break and say this. If a lame man has a right to leap in the temple just for being healed of lameness, I have a right to leap in the house of God just because he saved my soul. And people want to know, why do you jump up and down? Why do you leap? Why do you worship the way you do? We do that because he saved us. If a lame man could leap because he was healed, we can leap and celebrate and rejoice because we have been redeemed, blood bought. We've been called by his name and filled with his spirit. Now, on that ordinary day, an extraordinary miracle happened because two ordinary men had been walking with God and heading to walk with God on an ordinary day. That kind of power with God is only born out of a faithful walk with God, which means every one of us needs to pray and walk with God every day. It's the greatest appointment we'll ever have. It's greater than your job interview. It's greater than the appointment to go see the new house. It's greater than the sales meeting. It's greater than the staff meeting. It's more important than going shopping or going to the game. When God's people find a place and a time just to get alone with God and pray, it's the greatest appointment we'll ever have every day, any day. Some of you would rather walk on a tightrope over crocodiles swimming on broken glass than pray because you're afraid to pray. You don't know what to say when you pray. You don't want to pray wrong, so you don't pray at all. So today, let me just take the pressure off. Prayer is not about saying all the right words. Prayer is about relationship with God. Prayer is not how many Father Gods can you cram into one prayer. Or if you can pray it right in the King James English, prayer is just about relationship with God. And believe it or not, God wants to have a relationship with you. Even with your past, even with your record, even with all of the wrongs you wish you could erase and can't, God loves you and wants to be in relationship with you. So we talk to God, not cavalier and flippant, but we talk to God just like we talk to each other. Because prayer is conversation between us and God. He's not grading us. He's not grading us to make sure we say it just right. He just wants to hear from us. But we can't really understand that, can we? We can't understand that the Almighty God of glory, the Holy God of heaven, wants to turn his attention away just for a moment from flying angels and spinning planets just because he wants to hear our voice. But he does. Walking with God is not about saying all the right words. It's about relationship. So Peter and John felt no pressure. They're going up to the temple to pray, just to talk with God, because that is where and that is when they prayed. One scholar believes Abraham prayed early in the morning, Isaac prayed at midday, and Jacob, his son, prayed in the afternoon. It really doesn't matter when you pray. It just really matters that you pray. Some of us are morning people. Where are my morning people? Raise your hand, morning people. Awake in the dawn, that's our anthem. We get up to wake the sun up. You know what? The world does not like us. If that's you, morning is your best time of the day. You're a morning person. Then get up early in the morning and spend some time with God. If the rest of the people in your house are not morning people, I promise you, you will be alone with God. Before you go on Instagram, before you check the weather, before you check the score, find a place to kneel. Find a place to walk and just spend time with God. Some of us are night owls. Better yet said, some of you are night owls. Where are my night owls? Long after everybody's gone to bed, not a creature stirring, not even a mouse. You're up. You're just getting started when everybody else is all finished. Long after the sun has set and everybody else has gone to bed, that's your best time. Find a place to get alone with God and pray. Every disciple of Jesus, and as we make disciples, and not only of others but of ourselves, as we make disciples, every disciple of Jesus needs to find a place and a time every day just to talk with God and pray. And I know we're busy. I know we just escaped the hustle of the holiday season. I still see busy on every face. If you ask almost anybody, how you doing? They're going to reply the same way. I'm good. I'm busy. I'm good. Hey, can you help me out? I don't know. I'm kind of busy. Everybody's busy. But if we're so busy, we don't have time to pray. We are just too busy. If we cram so much into our day that we have to cram prayer out of our day, then we are just too busy. Prayer is oxygen for the soul. If we go too many days without it, sooner or later, we will collapse spiritually and we will die spiritually. It was said Martin Luther prayed 3 hours every day, and a busy businessman who was chasing his next sale told him, "Sir, I'm too busy to pray 3 hours a day." And Martin Luther, who was also busy, replied, "I'm too busy not to pray 3 hours a day." If you're struggling in your walk with God, struggling to live for God, struggling in battles, and you're falling to temptation day after day, I ask you, how is your walk with Him? If you can't get victory in the battles you've been fighting, and the giant, same giant, keeps felling you rather than you felling the giant, I ask you, are you spending every day in prayer? Daily prayer, daily devotion, it should not be a chore and a checklist. It ought to be the greatest privilege we'll ever have. I have an opportunity to talk with God. And we have the opportunity to hear from Him. Peter and John had a set time and place where they spent time and they walked with God. They went to the temple. I would love it if everybody could come to the sanctuary, but I realize because of your schedule or maybe car situation, you can't make it to the sanctuary. But I do tell you this, if you want to come to the sanctuary, I'll do my best to make sure it's open so you can come and you can pray and spend some time with the Lord. But if you can't make it to the sanctuary, you need to make it in your home a place that is a sanctuary where you can walk with God. It could be your bedside early in the morning, or maybe a room in your house that you can designate as a prayer room or a recliner in the living room. Wherever it is, whenever it is, all of us need a time and a place where we can go during the day, every day, just to walk with God. And I know there are days when the alarm clock doesn't ring or the phone does and it throws everything off and we run from here to there trying to put fires out from sunup to sundown. I understand that happens, but even during that day, and I would say especially during that day, we need to carve out a place to seek the face of God and walk with Him. If you pray in your car on the way to work, keep praying in your car on the way to work. But don't let that be your only daily devotion. Because while you're praying in your car on the way to work, you're worried about 55 to 35 and yield here and merge there. And you can't be focused on God. So keep praying there, but don't let that be your only time. Spend some time, another time during that day, just to talk with the Lord. Because the measure of our love for God can be measured by how much we love to spend time with Him. And I know we love to worship. We're apostolic Pentecostals. We love to worship. We love to come in here on Sundays and feel the presence of God move on us and give us goosebumps. And we love to run laps around the sanctuary like it's a NASCAR race on Sunday. But when there is no music and there are no goosebumps and nobody's running around the church to rejoice and celebrate, do you still want to walk with Him on Monday as much as you wanted to worship Him on Sunday? Our worship is beautiful, but the real measure of our devotion to God is our walk, not just our worship. Peter and John were a couple fishermen who followed this man who called himself Messiah for 3 years. They weren't expecting to fight lifetime lame limbs on that day. They're just walking to the temple because they've been walking with God. I dare say there'll be people God puts in your path from time to time throughout the days who need a miracle. And they're waiting for somebody who's got power with God, that was fueled from a walk with God, to lay hands on them or pray for them and believe God to heal and work a miracle in their life. That won't happen from just a Sunday to Sunday relationship. But you'll get that power with God when you're on your knees every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm just walking with Him. Thursday, Friday. You don't even realize it, but He's putting power within you to be able to go out into the world and make a difference. So when God puts someone in your path who needs a touch from Him, you've been walking with Him. You know Him. You know His voice. And so you're able to pray, and you're able to pray in the name of Jesus, and that same power that God's been putting in you, He's going to work through you to work a miracle in them. We're fighting battles in our day I never thought we would fight. We're facing giants I never thought we would face. And the only way we're going to win these battles, the only way we're going to fell these giants, is through the power of God. Prayer is still one of the greatest weapons we will fight against the devices of the devil. And the only way to get that power is to walk with the Lord. I love how Christian author and pastor Chuck Swindoll said it. He said, real prayer, the kind of prayer that Jesus mentioned and modeled, is realistic, spontaneous, down-to-earth communication with the living Lord that results in a relief of personal anxiety and a calm assurance that our God is in full control of our circumstances. It's just conversation with God. But it's conversation with God that takes the pressure, the stress, the worry, the anxiety off of our shoulders and puts them onto His, which He's already taken anyways, and says, I need you to handle this day. It's too big for me. If you're fighting anxiety, pray. If you're fighting fear, pray. If you're fighting stress and worry, pray. Paul said, don't be anxious for anything, but here's the prescription. And Pastor Paul poured out his prescription pad and said, I know you're anxious and I know you're worrisome. So here, why don't you try this? Why don't you try to pray? Let everything be given with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Then let your requests be made known to God. It's not the will of God that His church is anxious and fearful and worried and stressful, but it is His will that His church is powerful. And the way His church will be powerful is if His church is prayerful. We have power with God because we walk with Him. But walking isn't very glamorous. Walking is beautiful, but it's not glamorous. Very few people get excited about walking. When's the last time you ever heard somebody brag they walked a 20-minute mile and put that on their car decal? How many would tune in to watch Usain Bolt amble around the track for a mile and just walk it? One in every crowd, but one. There were no gold medals awarded to grannies at Pyeongchang in the Olympics because they walked the most mornings in a row. But when I cycle down the trail when the weather is a lot better than it is today, I will pass some of the same people walking early in the morning every morning. Nobody applauds them. Nobody stands at the finish line and pats them on the back when they stroll across. They could skip a morning here and there and nobody would know. Nobody would even care. And they're not there on the trail just because they love to walk. They're there on the trail because it's good for their heart. We don't walk with God just because we want His power. We don't walk with Him just to check a box on spiritual chores or to make our pastor happy or to keep God from becoming unhappy. We walk with Him just because we love Him. And walking with Him is so good for our heart. It's good just to spend time with the Lord every day, just to be with Him. I'm so glad we have pre-service prayer every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. How's that for a shameless announcement? But we don't just pray on Wednesday and Sunday before church, for church. We pray every day because we want to spend time with God. Moms and dads, greatest legacy you'll ever leave your kids is to have them see you pray. If they have never seen you pray at home, will they think it is important to pray? If they followed in your footsteps, would your steps lead them to prayer or away from prayer? Would they lead them to an altar every day, or would they lead them away from an altar every day? One of the greatest gifts you'll ever give your family will cost you nothing but your time. They need to see you pray. But you're not just praying to be seen, but you are praying to be an example. That I don't have this. I need His help. And I want His relationship. When Peter and John headed to the temple to pray, God stepped in. He worked a miracle that caused the entire city to stop and take notice. If we want to glorify God in our city, and I believe we do. I always get these signs mixed up. We want to glorify God in our city, and I believe we do. We need to pray each day to ask God to glorify Him through us. When the story ends, the Bible doesn't end its story like Disney does. If it did, it would end with a confetti parade as the lame man does backflips down Jerusalem city streets and you roll the credits. But it doesn't end like that. The Bible tells a different ending. The lame man was leaping and the religious royalty were steaming. They caught Peter and John and threw them in jail for the night because all they did was pray. The next day, Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court for the Jewish people. Because in their day, apparently praying to Jesus was a first-degree felony. And the Supreme Court interrogated them, demanded to know, come on, guys, come on, come on. How did you do it? How do we do what? Come on, you know, how did you do it? What are you talking about? How did you do it? We've passed this same guy on the way to the temple every day for the last 40 years. We passed him every day, lame, asking for money. How did you make him walk? We want to know, how did you do it? Show us the smoke and mirrors. Tell us what you did. And Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the power of God, because his days were filled with walking with God, he said, oh, let me tell you how we did it. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And I would also say whereby we must be healed or whereby we must be delivered. There's no other name except the name of Jesus. You want to know how we did it? I'll tell you how we did it. We've been walking with Jesus. We've been talking with Jesus. And then when we called on the name of Jesus, he was right there to heal a man who was lame from his mother's womb. Jesus can save us. Jesus can heal us. Jesus can help us. But that's not what they were hoping to hear. They wanted to hear the smoke and mirrors. They wanted to know how he worked his magic trick. They didn't want to hear about Jesus because they never liked him since the day he laid down carpentry and picked up preaching. And the Supreme Court wanted to shut Peter and John down, but they couldn't because the lame man was standing right next to them. Did you catch that? The lame man was standing right next to them. They didn't know what to do, so they threatened them and they said, okay, well, fine, don't you dare preach in that name or else. And they released Peter and John on their own recognizance. And when they were freed, they ran to find their friends. And guess what they did? Guess the first thing they did when they found their friends? They prayed. Peter and John prayed when everything was all right, and Peter and John prayed when nothing was all right. They prayed, and when they prayed, the house was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Peter and John prayed when everything was going great, because that's what disciples do. Disciples spend time with Jesus. There are going to be times when everything is right, nothing is wrong. There's not one flake of snow within 100 miles of here. Clear skies, calm seas. Everybody's getting raises. Everybody's getting new cars. Nobody's in the hospital. That's the right time to pray. When everything is going right, don't wait for the diagnosis or the car accident to spend some time with God. You need to pray when everything's going all right. Thank God that everything is going all right. But there will be times when you do get the diagnosis or you get the call about the accident or the company closing and everything is not going all right, and we don't know what we're going to do. In those times, our first response ought to be the same as those first Christians. I know what we need to do. We need to pray. In fact, let's not do this alone. Let's get a few brothers and sisters. Let's get a few other people who are full of faith and full of the Spirit. Let's spend some time with God. Let's ask God to get a hold of the situation. Let's get a hold of the one who can get a hold of the situation. Let's spend time around the altar. Let's spend time on the phone with a brother and sister, and let's pray. When it's all going right and when it's all going wrong. When the world looks at the church and asks us, what are you going to do? They want to know. Something like this happened to me. And I tried this and this and this and this and this and this didn't work, this didn't work, this didn't work, this didn't work, and this didn't work. So what are you going to do? They want to know, what do you have that I don't have? And all you can do is say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust Jesus that he knows what he's doing. Even if I don't, I'm going to put my hand in his and I'm going to pray. Prayer needs to be the first step we take. And someday we might find it's the only step we need to take. When they prayed, God answered, and God, some scholars believe, sent a localized earthquake and shook the room where they were praying to let them know He was listening and He was in control. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were such a praying people that God responded in such a way that we and they saw that He is listening and He is in control? Would you stand with me today? I'm pretty sure if I could see the Apostle Peter's Outlook calendar, or if he didn't have Outlook back in that day, which he probably didn't, if I could see his planner or his daytime or Franklin Covey or whatever he was using to stay organized, I'm pretty sure I could say with certainty that he didn't have it circled on that day, heal a lame man. He was just walking with God. And God said, here's an opportunity for you to make a difference in the world in which you live. When he prayed, God heard, God answered, God healed. And then over 5,000 people believed. That is a revival, my brothers and sisters. And how did it start? It started by a couple ordinary guys just said, I need to make sure every day I'm spending some time with the Lord. I'm going to walk with Him. Everybody in the room where they were praying was filled with the Holy Spirit. Breakout revival broke out, and it all started when those two disciples decided, you know what, I've got nothing better to do with my day than spend some time with the Lord and pray. So I ask, what do you suppose God wants to do in our city in this new year? What miracles is He ready and willing to work for a church who will pray and believe Him? What revival is He willing to send for a praying church who knows we might just be one prayer meeting away from a citywide, life-changing, hell-maddening, heaven-gladdening revival where thousands of people are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and this city is brought to salvation? If it happened in the Bible, it can happen in our day. But it only happens for those churches who decide we're a praying church. This is who we are. We're a praying church. And a praying church is only comprised of praying people. And praying people are not just praying on Sundays or on Wednesdays, but they're spending time every day just talking with God. So if you feel like you need nothing at all in your life, best thing you can do is pray. And thank God you don't feel like you need anything in your life. If you need a miracle, pray. If you're fearful, pray. If you're sad, pray. If you're glad, pray. If you're anxious, pray. If you need help paying the bills, pray. If you need a healing from God, pray. If you need direction to know what you need to do in life, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Because our walk with God will give us power with God when we pray. If you don't want to wait any longer to spend some time with the Lord, I'll meet you down here at this altar. At the end of every message, we come together and we pray at the altar. Today is the most fitting day that we would come and we would bring our families with us, bring our children, bring our teenagers with us, and let's spend some time on our knees and on our faces before God. If you need Him to work a miracle in your life, best thing you'll do all day long is spend some time with the Lord this morning and say, Jesus, I need Your help. And He will be right there to hear and help you because He listens when we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I love you today, God. His hand is leading me.
just to know He's there, His hand is leading me. Though the world pass me by, go their way, let me be just to
We're not quite there in the Sermon on the Mount yet, but we will be soon, Lord willing. To Matthew 6, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Gave them a model, gave them an example. But let me give you this today, if this will help. It's an acrostic. Four letters. Each letter stands for just a different step in prayer. It's very simple. It's TRIP. T-R-I-P. If you have a hard time praying or knowing what to pray or knowing how to pray or knowing in what order everything needs to go, this is a real simple way to just start praying. TRIP stands for Thanksgiving, Repentance, Intercession, Praise. Very simple. What you do is you start your prayer off with thanksgiving. Just start with thanking God for what He's done. Thank God for all the blessings. Thank God for who He is. Thank God for everything, every good gift He's given you. Thanksgiving. That's a great way to approach the Lord, first of all, is through humble thanksgiving. Realizing what I have comes from Him, and so it's only right that I give Him thanks for it. Secondly is repentance. That's where we just say, God, I'm sorry. There's some things in my life or things yesterday or things even today that I did, and I need to ask You to forgive me. God loves repentance because He loves mercy. And He loves to forgive us and give us a clean start. I stands for intercession. And that means we pray for other people. Or maybe even at this point we pray for ourselves, but I would suggest we pray for others first. So this is where you take the prayer list that people give you, and it could be a mile long, but this is where you start praying for other people. You pray for everybody in our church family. You pray for people in our city, people at your job, people in your neighborhood. Pray for our missionaries around the world. Pray for anybody you can think of. Pray for our city leadership. Pray for our first responders. Pray for our country's leadership. Pray, pray, pray. A lot of people to pray for. A lot of time to pray. That's intercession. And then you wrap it all up with praise. Praise acknowledges everything I just prayed for. You're able to do it. But I'm going to trust You that You will do what's best and You will do what is right. That's praise, when you just praise God for who He is and what He's done already and for what He's going to do. So if you have a tough time praying and not knowing how to do it and all that, just remember TRIP. Go on a trip with God. Thanksgiving, repentance, intercession, praise. And that may help you a little bit. Tomorrow night is open gym for our kids, Connect Kids, 5 through 11. Or 6 through 11. I think 6. Our 6 through 11 year olds are going to have the gym to themselves. Sister Dawn is hosting a roller skating party in the gym. So please have them bring their skates or rollerblades. If you don't have them, she has some. Hopefully they're the right size. And they'll be serving snacks and playing other games. So if they don't have any skates or can't skate, that's okay. Still bring them. They're going to have a good time. 6 to 8 o'clock will be open gym for our kids tomorrow night. And if you're a guest with us today, we're so glad you're here. Thank you for braving the snow and coming out to worship with us. If you don't already have an Apostolic Church home, we from Apostolic Church say welcome home. We are so glad you're here. And before you leave, please go out. There's a kiosk right out here out of these doors. Just click on I'm New on that kiosk. Any one of our church family can help you with that. We just want to stay connected with you, give you a chance to stay connected to us. We also have a cafe that's right out these doors and to the right. If you have any questions about service or about the Bible or about faith or need prayer for anything, meet us in the cafe and give us a time once again to get to know you a little bit better. There are some Panera treats in there as well, so it's a delicious meeting. We're happy to have you today. Tonight, we will start at 5:30 in the prayer room. Brother Mackey, Lord willing, is going to be preaching to us. It's going to be a great service. Thanks for being here this morning. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.